This is The Hard Question on WCGO.
Trying to keep up with what's actually going on in the Middle East and in Iran. And I wanted to get one of our best experts, a retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari, who saw extensive combat in the Middle East as a Special Operations Forces soldier. He also has advised the Assyrian Christian Army in Iraq. And also, he was born in Iran, came to this country when he was 10 years old. Sargis, give us the insight into what's going on and how worried should we be as Americans to what is transpiring. The president has been holding back on taking a lot of action, but I want your insight.
It's good to be here, Blanquita. Right now, it's just a process of the negotiations. At the end of the day, every major issue that we have to deal with foreign policy-wise ends up at the negotiation tables. We walked away from an initial deal that was struck with Iran, which the Near East said it was more economic than it was security-related. And now we're back into trying to be in a better position for maybe a long-term deal that won't have any timelines to it.
How do you mean that it's going to be a better deal, Sargis?
The initial deal did not have any places where it addressed the capabilities, the ballistic capabilities that Iran was working on. It was capped really within a five-year type of a timeline. Unfortunately, in this process, the Europeans were starting to strike deals with Iran, bypassing U.S. companies within the region, literally isolating us. And we realize that with China expanding into Europe through the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which Iran belongs to, we are going to be completely isolated economically from even being able to have leverage on Europe itself, which needs to resolve the Iran issue for its own security, which is one of the reasons why the British are not so involved in this process, although they worked against us when it came to the sanctions. Because the current administration realized they have to walk away from it.
Yeah, but we have Boris Johnson coming in now, so that could change the dialogue, don't you think, as a new Prime Minister?
It could change the dialogue, but he's going to be focused more on the security issues than on the economic issues. And as you can see right now, England's trying to take a lead and kind of alleviate the pressure off of us within the region, especially with the problem that is dealing with as far as oil tankers are concerned. I don't have a problem with the British coming in and kind of taking that pressure, but we cannot allow them to be the lead. If they do, they will take the credit in the long run, and they will have much more capability of influence in Iran than the U.S. will.
Well, the other thing is we want to be able to know what their nuclear capabilities are and to have good inspections. We didn't have thorough inspections before. What I'm also worried about, Sargis, and I've talked about this, I think, maybe with you in the past, is the presence of Iran in places like Venezuela, the presence of Iran in places like Bolivia, and in other locations in our Western Hemisphere. How critical is it that we get a handle on what's going on?
Well, it is very critical. There's an internal fight that's taking place in the Middle East between the Shia and the Sunni, and Iran has shown its capability to project its power base. Remember, we've had 40 years of sanctions against Iran, and Iran was still able to bring the Western powers to the table, and now it will probably bring the Western powers to the table again from a position of strength, winning literally in the region when it comes to its capabilities or concern in the Islamic world. With that said, what Iran has been doing now slowly to try to negotiate because of the pressure we have put on them, they're removing their force capabilities and structures out of Syria to an extent. If you can see that we had Al-Hashishabi in Iraq, they have gone ahead and said that it needs to melt into the larger Iraqi armed forces. Even in Yemen, they are not supporting Houthis as they used to. This is a clear indication that they want to negotiate.
Right. So they're the enemy of my enemy is my friend, which would be directed against us. A quick question. In Iran, I understand that the leadership is kind of in the minority, but the majority of the constituency, they're younger. They're under like 40 years old, and they don't necessarily like the oppressive environment that is in Iran. Is that going to ever turn out to be of benefit to us? Will they ever overturn the mullahs?
Yes and no. leadership change may not be beneficial to us in Iran. And the reason I say that is because, again, let's look at our ally, England in this case. Every major and above in the Iranian military force structure, their children, their spouses, themselves, have been educated in the UK universities. So that relationship has already been built there. If there's a regime change in the future, it is very possible because of these type of relationships that have been established by even our allies with Iran, that right. they will have the majority of their influence in the region over U.S. policymakers.
And how are they going to resolve their relationship with Saudi Arabia, Iran? Will that be mended, or will the Saudis still stay closer to the United States?
Saudi has to stay close to U.S. and Israel. It has no capability. It is losing in the information operational campaign. Iran shoots down a U.S. drone. It says, look, I'm fighting against the United States to the Islamic world, while Saudi Arabia, you're doing nothing more than writing checks for them. And similarly, is able to go and take ships that belong to UK to negotiate over those oil tankers, and Saudi Arabia is not able to do that and project that type of a capability. The one thing Saudi is tied to currently is ISIS operators that are destabilizing the region.
And so the Straits of Hormuz, how vulnerable are the Straits of Hormuz right now?
It's very difficult because, look, we're heading towards a peaceful negotiations, but we're at a trigger point here. And it could be either the best thing that happened over the next 10 years, or it could be more bloodier than the previous decade. And a lot of it has to do with what happens internally in Israel, because Israel is right now just has no allies within the region, although it has right. struck deals with folks.
What about Jordan?
Is still working against it.
Is Jordan not an ally?
It doesn't matter.
They're too little?
Jordan is an ally, but Jordan has always had internal issues. Jordan could go way of the Arab revolts that took place any day, any time.
And Egypt is kind of up for grabs going the other way?
No, Egypt has steadied itself, and the only reason Egypt was able to steady itself is because the initial building block on which Egypt built its relationship with Israel was with Sadat basically getting himself killed by flying into Israel and striking a deal with him. So it's on a strong basis. You will have internal issues with Islamists in Egypt, but Egypt will always be able to sustain because it's base of how it negotiated that deal with Israel had more to do with its security.
Let me ask you one last little final quick question about the relationship between Iran, China, and Russia. How is that relationship? Is it strong? Is it influential? Is it how does that affect us?
It is strong, influential. At times, Iran is stronger than China in the region, and at times, Russia and China are stronger than Iran. It's just how they play their cards when it comes to this geographic terrain that we call Iran, because through Iran, you could affect the Southern Caucasus, you could affect China's ability to take away the European market from the U.S., isolating us during this tariff war, and you could affect basically the entire region in the Middle East as far as what the future of it would look like. These nations are working together.
Well, as Sargis, as always, you provide so much information for us. We thank you for joining us today. Lot to cover every day, folks. This is always, we appreciate great guests like our two that we had on the program, and you as well. Not your biggest show in town, but we are your show, and we thank you for listening to us in WCGO. You can catch us in SoundCloud. Thank you to John Lester Insurance, lesterinsure1.com. So tomorrow, we'll be back with more, and you can count on us here to ask the hard questions.